Hello, lovelies. Welcome to this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. I look forward to sharing my channeled message with you today, and if you love it, please remember to like, share, review, and subscribe. So, like everything else in life, sometimes work sucks. And it's most likely to suck out of all the parts of our life because work is boot camp. It is a crash course within the overall plan and conditions of life school. It is one of the things that people have the most hard time with. One of the places they forget their spiritual practice the most. They focus on sympathy instead of empathy. They get their feelings hurt. They take things personally. And they're fearful, right? Remember fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. It's important that we remember, no matter how much we love our jobs, that sometimes work sucks and that there are strategies and tools by which to keep ourselves from drowning in that reality. One of the things we have to remember is really just the truth of what we claim. Anybody who's been following me very long knows that I was a teacher for a very long time, 15 years. I worked most of that time in a large building that was in the shape of a horseshoe. And for at least half that time, I would have to enter one end of the horseshoe and walk the entire distance because my classroom was as far away as you could get. Now, along this path, there was many opportunities for what I call water cooler talk, right? People would say, "How are you?" "Oh, hello," whatever. And the answer was always, "Oh, I'm tired," or "I'm this," or "I'm that," or "I'm hungry," or "Not feeling it today." Generally negative, as if it was in support of everybody else. And a very simple decision that I made at one point in time, around the time that I really started to understand what it meant to say, "I am," right? For those of you who do not know, I am is claiming the divinity of you. What you tell yourself you are when you say I am, your brain will believe. And your belief is what manifests things. And so I realized if I'm walking through that building, I'm saying, "Oh, I am tired," then I am affirming that I live within a condition of tiredness, right? And so I decided one day that as I walked through the building from that day forward, I would say, "I am wonderful." And I would just smile and keep walking. Right? I would not open the door for further conversation. I would be swift and light and claim, "I am wonderful." And so I prepared, as I suggest people do with any, I call it canned answer, right? If you want to have a specific answer to a specific question so that you cannot be controlled by the energy and intention of whoever is pulling you in, right? You should practice. And so I was driving to work that day, and I remember just imagining different people saying things to me as I walked through the building, and I would say out loud to my steering wheel, and this was before Bluetooth was normal, so I probably looked quite crazy. I would say, "I'm wonderful," and keep walking, and look them in the eyes and smile so they got the feeling of the connectedness, and they weren't like, "She didn't even ask me how I am," right? And so the first day that I did that, one of the very first people literally was shocked that that would be anyone's response on a Monday morning and sort of took my arm and looked at me like, "Are you serious?" And I said, "I'm wonderful and you are too." And I kept going. And I did that every day. And before I knew it, it started to change. Not just me, but the people around me. They'd see me coming and suddenly they'd have this smile on their face. Now, whether or not, as it was for all of them, most were real cool. They were like, "Yes, here it comes. Here comes that smile. Here comes that joy." And some just really loathed me for it. And that's okay too, right? If you are so happy that it makes people uncomfortable with their desire to be miserable, then you are cracking them open to learn and grow, right? No matter what the circumstances are, we can bring joy into a room. And if that makes people itch, right? In fact, in college, I took an entire course on disequilibrium. It was all about the need to make someone, specifically a student, just uncomfortable enough that they would be forced, pushed to learn and grow. And so if somebody doesn't like your joy, it's just that. Okay. Now, I get that there are personality conflicts and all kinds of things that happen in the workplace. And this can be really, really hard, right? Now, the first thing that we really have to accept is that a personality conflict does not equal job insecurity. That is not true. In fact, a conflict like that can be job security because of how we handle it, right? Bosses are just people, and coworkers are just people. And terrible bosses, terrible people are just struggling people, right? And part of what you get paid for is dealing with them. If 2/3 of your pay is for dealing with your narcissistic team leader who who can't do anything the right way, right? Who takes credit for your ideas or puts you down out of their insecurity, so be it, right? Well, I'm paid for this, right? If your job challenges you every day with your inner dialogue, lovelies, you're getting paid to go to spiritual grad school, right? You're going to be learning these things somewhere. You're going to be learning to deal with other human beings somewhere. You're getting paid to do it. Keep that in perspective too. It helps, right? And for God's sake, do not blame the scorpion for having a stinger. Think about that for a minute. Scorpions are actually quite nurturing insects. They actually carry their young on their backs and they nurse right through their exoskeleton. Imagine that. And they walk through the world, and if they're startled, if you sneak up on them, if they feel threatened, whoosh, right? They sting you. They don't mean to, it's a reaction. So many humans are like that. They're scorpions. Don't blame the stinger, beloved. Translate. If you are wise enough to see, and if you're listening to me 7 minutes into this podcast, I have no question that you are wise enough to see what they need. Okay, yeah, maybe they're your leadership. That doesn't mean that you're not the one that's wise enough to speak the right language, to translate, to pet them, whatever it is. Play the game, lovelies. Not because it's inauthentic or some kind of bullshit, but because it's practice for everything else in life. We have to translate to our lovers, to our children, to our friends, to our moms. We have to translate. We have to speak a language they can understand, or else we will live in a world where we are perpetually misunderstood. And so here in the workplace, we practice in a place where very few people get to choose who they're with. Very few. I have some means of control, but I have clients who I know are meant to be clients who are sometimes incredibly challenging human beings to be around. You are working in an environment where the universe has lined you up with others. And you can run from the lesson, but you will face it again, either in your next workplace or worse, in your home with a family member. Embrace the education of the place where you are. Create a deep belief in your right to be respected. Be consistent within your own self, consistent in your tasks, consistent in your thinking. You will unlock your own peace and confidence, and then you can anticipate the workplace being peaceful instead of just expecting it to be. There's a fine line. I don't know, thick line, between anticipation and expectation. If you expect things to be differently, but you aren't doing anything different within or without of yourself, then you're making a mistake. Anticipate positive growth and change by doing the work within. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are no battles. Rest. Do your job. Be effective, not needy. This is important. Think of your day like driving down the highway, right? The BS of other people are the billboards and the text messages, right? They cause accidents if you make them more important than the path ahead. So let them be billboards and ignored text messages, right? You will deal with them at what level you have to, you need to. You will accept who people are. You will pay attention, right? If you have somebody on your team who's always all in and then hates the idea and then is all in again, quit getting upset when suddenly they hate the idea, okay? That's all right. Have some kind answers for decisiveness. Say yes, ma'am. Say yes, sir. Right? If you don't live in the South, then say whatever's appropriate in the part of the country where you live. Think about my child, okay? My son is in the third grade, and he's a very good boy. He's smart, and he's funny, and he's energetic, and all of those things you would want your nine-year-old son to be. He's in an overcrowded class where there are a number of kids who don't have self-control. For whatever reasons that are seemingly out of their control, right? They either have ADD or some other learning difference, or perhaps they have parents who have to work so much that they're not there. Whatever it is, my son seems to have everything lined up in his favor compared to them. And so the teacher has a little patience for him. And he gets reamed for things sometimes that seem quite unfair. In fact, most recently, for those of you who don't have children, now kids, every kid has an iPad at school. They were doing something on their iPads. He had his earphones in. Twice in one day when the teacher called them all to the carpet, he didn't hear her. She got upset. She was frustrated. It wasn't really at him or his fault, but she's looking around at this group of kids that she has, and she's this point in the school year, and I taught a long time so I can understand, and she could not handle that this child was not making her life easier. And she wrote him an office referral. My son, of course, is very big on what is fair, and he was quite upset with this. But the conversation I had with him is quite relevant for the conversation that I'm having with you, right? Teachers are people. The principal is a person. They have their own lives. They have their own things. They're tired. They're dealing with working parts, and they may or may not have the patience or the skills that anyone else has to deal with those types of things with grace and ease. That sometimes they cannot hear our side. They just have to get their words out of their mouth. And so I told my son, when they talk to you, say yes, ma'am. Say yes, ma'am. And do the best you can to comply with what they're asking you to do. Your teacher can't handle it when you're the kid that doesn't hear through your earphones. Wear one earphone, right? One earbud so that you can always hear. Teacher doesn't like it when you can't stand still in line. Stand still in line. Speak her language, right? Speak her language. If it makes her day that much better for you to stand still in line, stand still. If it makes your boss or your team leader's day that much better for you to text them every time you're done with a part of the project, text them. Don't resent them for that. Be glad that you know how to make their life more peaceful and therefore yours. It doesn't have to be chaos, beloved. The river is only chaotic when we fight against the current. Don't fight against the current unless it is intrinsically wrong, right? Sexism, racism, something. If it's just that you don't want to have to check in, just check in. If it's that you want more attention, get over yourself. Often being ignored is the greatest compliment. I had one principal who came and observed me teaching a class and then didn't set foot in my classroom for nearly 10 years. He saw what he needed to see. He saw that kids that couldn't stay in a class without getting sent back to him could stay in my class and thrive. And so he ignored me. I would sometimes catch what I would call a backdoor compliment, right? Him saying something to someone else about me or to my student teacher, right? You're so lucky, you're with the best. I was as close as I would get. I wish I realized fully then what I've realized now, which is that no praise is needed, right? Stay in your lane, do your job. Don't fight against the current unless the current is intrinsically flawed. And I don't mean that you hate being micromanaged. I mean that, you know, they're crossing an ethical, moral line. Then fight. Hell yeah. Sometimes we end up in those places for that reason. We should make places better and speak our minds, right? I went in and spoke up about the way teachers were teaching, treating students. It rarely made a change, but I needed to be heard, right? I want to go on record as saying, this is wrong. But that wasn't things like the detailed lesson plans I had to turn in that made my principal feel in control. It wasn't that, right? Do what you need to do to be a part of the system. Translate, it's okay. It only makes your job harder when you fight against it. So do it and be consistent. Stay on top of the game, right? Throughout my teaching career, they added more and more checks and balances all the time. By the time I resigned to do the work I do now full-time, it was incredibly elaborate documentation of every type of student accommodation and everything else. And thank you, universe, that I have always been naturally efficient. I would do this as I went, and so it was not a big deal, but there were people who didn't, and it was a crazy burden. It's like, being a child of the 80s, I spent all summer out in the sun with no sunglasses, and so this results in me being a 45-year-old woman that has issues with her eyes being dry. Eye drops are a great analogy for what we've been talking about. My eye doctor told me I have a choice. I can either use these over-the-counter, drug-free wetting drops multiple times a day, 4 to 6 times a day. Or if I find that I'm not willing to do that, I can take this prescription. But the prescription, of course, is full of drugs and expensive and would probably be something I would never be able to quit using again. Do I have the consistency? Do I have the drive to have peacefulness, to have moistness enough to put the eye drops in my eyes multiple times a day instead of having to rely on something dramatic to change my condition? Don't wait until things are dramatic. Don't wait until you've been written up or until you hate your job so much you're going to burst. Let's be consistent every day. Let's use the eye drops every time our eyes feel the least bit dry. Let's report what we need to report. Let's smile at the person that is difficult to love. Let's remember that they're just people. Everyone is people. They've got things going on at home. They have chattering monkeys. Everybody's got their own stuff going on. Don't look at them like robots. Remember, they are people. And be more patient. Do be proactive, right? Practice. Practice on your drive in or before you log in if you work from home. Practice your responses and your reactions. Yes, sir, I'll get right on that. No, sir, that's not necessary because, right? Practice your empathy, beloved. Quit thinking what it would take for you to be such an asshole and think about what it takes for him to be such an asshole. Right? Maybe that person has never seen anything else. Maybe that's the way they were raised. Maybe if you met their parents, that's what they sound like. Right? Or maybe they've got things going on at home that you can possibly understand. Maybe they have anxiety. It's not an excuse for bad behavior, but it's understanding, which helps you with the whole point of the whole thing. And that's life school, beloved. What do I learn? And how do I grow? Remember, complacency is to be expected, right? It's actually in our DNA. Back when we were cave people or whatever, right? Like, we had to be okay with the monotonous. We had to get up and go gather the berries and scoop up the kids and do all these things day after day after day. We had to go, the hunters had to go and hunt and come back and hunt and come back and go the same path and do the same thing every single day. This was survival. And so when we get into the work of it all, it's easy to get in the monotony of, yes, hi, Susan. Oh, I'm tired. Okay, yes, this sucks. Our boss sucks. This, that, the other. It's so easy to get into that complacency, that monotony. Don't do that. Be a bell of mindfulness for yourself. Do whatever you need to do. Put sticky notes everywhere. Wear a specific ring right on the back of your hand. Remember to take a breath before every response. Make yourself a promise. I will skip a beat and I will ask myself what language this human is speaking, and what language I can speak in return. Is it kindness? Is it directness? Is it, I believe in your ability as a leader? What is it? What is it that that person needs? You can give it to them without making yourself less. In fact, all you will do is make yourself more. Pass the test, beloved. And the next experience will be easier and then easier and then easier after that. Use your affirmations and trust that the universe has put you exactly where you were meant to be. Until next time, beloved, namaste. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Lessons from the Universe with Jennifer Hall. If you haven't already, I want to personally invite you to come out and find me on social media and at my webpage, psychicjenniferhall.com. If you are inspired by the podcast and want more content, consider clicking that patron button on Podbean, or you can support the show at paypal.me/universallessonsllc, or by visiting our swag shop at spreadshirt.com. You can find the direct link on my Facebook page and my webpage. If you have questions, consider attending one of my quarterly seminars here in Dallas, or book your own educational session from anywhere in the world using the link that you can find on Facebook or on my webpage. I am sending each of you love, light, clarity, and wisdom, and I want you to know that whether you realize it or not, there's a little brunette with a podcast that's got your back.
I jumped at an opportunity to sing the praises of Jennifer because she is more than just a mentor to me. She is my friend. And I've thought a lot about what I want to say. And honestly, I could fill easily an hour or more with examples of how her gifts have played out in my life, the changes, the amazing, truly, actually mind-blowing stuff. But what I really think is most important for people to know is who Jennifer is at her core. I think we've all met or seen spiritual teachers on TV that they want to be our everything. We have a problem, you come to them. Every decision you make, hey, run it past them. From simple things even, you want to change your wallpaper in your bathroom, this is the kind of micromanagement they have in your life. That is not even remotely who Jennifer is. She doesn't want to be your guru, and she certainly isn't here to lead a flock of followers. She's here to help us awaken our own gifts, tune into your own voice, be able to hear your own God speaking to you in order to lead our very, very best life. She's here as a guide and a mentor, and on occasion, she might kick your tail feather a little bit. But honesty is also very, very important in a mentor and friend. I know it has been an amazing gift in my life meeting her. The day I found her online, that was a blessing. Walking into her home for my first personal session, life-altering experience. And here I am, several years later, and listening to her podcast. I'm a patron online. All of these things. But my life has changed truly for the better. I am better. I feel better. I'm more confident. I am more certain. And most importantly, I am more at peace because of the things that she has taught me and helped me and guided me with. I'm blessed. She has been a blessing in my life, and I truly appreciate her.